In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If someday you should go on a retreat to St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota, you will probably be going expecting to pray. And I'm sure you will pray. But you might also find yourself with a hoe working in the garden. I have particular affection for St. John's Abbey. I've never been there, but my wife Carol has, and I believe that my predecessor, Reverend Raymond Schulze, went on a good retreat there. It has this manuscript library, and it is the owner of what's called the St. John's Bible, which is the only handwritten in this beautiful calligraphy of the entire Bible that's been produced by a monastery, a Benedictine monastery, since the printing press. Carol and I have two of the seven volumes of this, kind of small volumes, but we love it. So that's St. John's Abbey in Minnesota. It's a Catholic monastery. Did you know that the Lutherans, we Lutherans here in America, also have a monastery? It is called St. Augustine House, and it is in Oxford, Michigan. Again, if you should go on a retreat to St. Augustine House, you will go there expecting to pray, and I'm sure you will pray, but also you might find yourself hoeing in the garden. The reason for that is that both St. John's Abbey and St. Augustine House are Benedictine monasteries. And St. Benedict was revolutionary in his attitude toward good old-fashioned labor. I will enjoy talking about St. Benedict a little bit later in this sermon. This is a Labor Day sermon. I think it's nice the way today's assigned readings rather cooperate in this national holiday. So let me return to that text with which I opened. It's from St. James. It's an appeal to us. St. James appeals to us that we should not be simply hearers of God's word, but also doers of that word. St. James is pointing up an important distinction. It is one thing to hear God's word. It's something else to do it. It's one thing to hear the holy commandments of God. It's another thing to actually dedicate your life to obedience to those commandments. An important distinction. Now, hearing the word of God is good. It's precious. In fact, that's why you folks have roused yourself on a holiday weekend and you've come to church, because you have this holy longing to hear the word of God, and praise God for that. God bless you all. But hearing the word, even the preaching of the word is good, but holy living is even better. So that's the distinction that we're going to talk about today, hearing the word versus doing the word. Now you would think that if our Maker should give us commandments, then we would up and do them. After all, in theory at least, our God could give us no commandments. He could let us live as if we are pigs. But that's not, you know, such neglect is not compatible with His love for us. So He gives us commandments. He wants our lives to flourish. He wants us to have abundant life. So He gives us the commandments so that we'll know a good way to live in this world. The Psalms are especially beautiful at lifting up this notion of the commandments of God as being a gift that our Maker gives us. I mean, it's up a few verses from Psalm 19 along these lines. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So the commandments are given to us as a blessing, yet it seems to be the way of our human race that we tend to shy away from the holy commandments of God. Maybe this is because of laziness. Maybe it's because we just don't want to pay the price of obedience because we know that it's going to call upon us to sacrifice ourselves, to pour ourselves out from time to time. But then also, there are highfalutin theological sounding reasons against doing the commandments. It's a kind of deceit, but it's a kind of human deceit that we are capable of. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus points that out. He's referring to what we Lutherans consider the fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. But human traditions had intervened in such a way that that commandment was being set aside. It went like this. The possessions that the grown children could have used to take care of their aging parents, they could set aside by way of a formula. Korban, kind of a magical word. Korban, it means that the money that I had, that I could have used to support you, well, I'm dedicating it to God. I'm going to live out my life. If there's any leftover, I'm giving it to the temple. Korban. Jesus says, but the commandment says, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And you have set aside the very commandment of God because of your own human tradition, poor mother and father. But we human beings are capable of doing that. We are capable of coming up with some kind of fancy reason for disobeying the commandments of God. None of that for us. Let us be people who not only hear the word, but also do the word. Now, here's an interesting thing. Sometimes the process of doing the word of God also means that we are busy doing our work in this world. To be a doer of God's word often means that we must be laborers in this world. There's a beautiful passage in Martin Luther's treatise called A Simple Way to Pray. It's a treatise about prayer, and I think it's a masterpiece. But there's this passage where Luther is praising prayer and suddenly interrupts himself to talk about work, labor, the sweat of the brow, the work the blacksmith does, the work the baker does, the work that you do, the work that I do.